Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Q1 FY22 results call of Welspun Corp, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. We have with us today on the call Mr. Vipul Mathur, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Percy Birdy, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group CFO and Head Strategy, Welspun Group. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhineet Anand from Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Abhineet, over to you.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome the management of Welspun Corp and would like to thank them for this opportunity. I shall now hand over to the management. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and a very good morning to all of you. Thanks for taking your time out today morning to attend our investor call for Q1 FY22. Let me just first highlight the key highlights of our operational and financial performance during the quarter ended 30th June 2021. The PAT stands at rupees 97 crore, up 68.6% on YoY basis. EBITDA is at rupees 203 crore, up 2.9% on YoY basis. We enjoy a very healthy balance sheet with a net cash of rupees 853 crore. Our total income from operation was at 1,299 crore. Our sales volume stand at 175,000 metric ton, and we enjoy a healthy order book of 487,000 tons with an active bid book of almost 1.7 million tons. For this quarter, the production and sales volume for our total operations, including Saudi, was at 119,000 tons and sales of 175,000 tons respectively. The breakup of that is as under. For India operations, our sales volume was 83,000 tons. For our U.S. operations, the sales volume was around 58,000 tons in this quarter. For Saudi operations, our sales volume was around 34,000 tons in this particular quarter. Let me just give you a broad outlook and update about the key drivers which we are seeing in each market. India. The demand for steel pipes is expected to improve with higher level of economic activities, amid optimism that the vaccination program will stimulate the economy, economic recovery. The government thrust to improve infrastructure is expected to augur well for industry players. A study by OPEC shows that India boasts of highest growth in demand for oil from 2020 to 2045, with a CAGR of nearly 4% to reach 11.1 million barrels per day. India contributed around 5% of the world's total demand in 2020, and which is expected to jump to 10% by 2045. To match the increasing demand for oil, the necessary infrastructure would have to be developed, which will result in several opportunities for pipe manufacturers. Another major demand driver for pipes is natural gas transportation and distribution. As per petroleum or PNGRB, the ninth and tenth round of bidding for city gas distribution organized in late 2018 covered 50.61% population spread over 42% of the geographical area and is expected to require 1.74 lakh kilometers of pipeline. Out of this, only 75,000 kilometers has been laid till September 2020. Water continues to be a key focus area. Currently, the country's per capita availability of water stands at abnormally low numbers. We are seeing a huge capital infusion by Jal Jeevan Mission announced by Government of India under their signature scheme, Nal Se Jal and Nal Se Jal at Every Home, and that seems to be now gaining momentum. Further, the scheme called AMRUT also aims at enhancing sewage treatment capabilities across India. Both these policy initiatives combined are expected to boost the demand for DI and SO and spiral pipes in time to come. However, despite this optimism, we also have to recognize that there has been a steep increase in the raw material prices, which has impacted the cost for major projects. This has resulted in delays in project implementation, especially in the water segment, as the project costs have significantly revised upward. However, we are confident in times to come, you know, this will get adjusted in the value chain and things will be back on normal. We are also in discussion for several orders in the export market, which have seen significant improvement in prospects due to higher oil price and demand and availability of lower interest rates. These opportunities are mainly for gas and slurry pipelines across all over the world, especially in Australia, Middle East, East Africa, and Latin America. With our exceptional track record in execution and our price competitiveness, and also with very limited competition in these projects, we are very well placed to win large chunk of business in due course of time. USA. The oil and gas rig count, an early indicator of future output, rose to 484 in the week of July 16, its highest since April 2020. This put the total rig count 91% higher than this time the last year. It was also up by 98% since falling to a record low of 244 in August 20. However, there is a caution among midstream companies about regulatory issues and environmental opposition. Currently, we are not seeing too much of a visibility for any large potential order for our Little Rock facility. But we continue to be engaged with all the key midstream players and keeping a very close watch on every upcoming opportunity. In the meantime, just to optimize, we have taken several measures in terms of cost optimization and rationalization. However, considering the demand and considering the oil prices and also considering that there has been a significant uptick in the rig count, all these three are clear indicators that this economy will revive, the oil and gas economy will revive sooner rather than later, and we stand very optimistic around that. Saudi. The Saudi business got momentarily impacted by a sharp increase of steel prices, which impact our profitability on a very small unexecuted order quantity. However, as of now, we have no open position of raw material or steel for all the, and the steel for all the orders happens to be secured. Further, the Saudi market is extremely buoyant. You know, they are absolutely riding high in terms of, you know, for the oil supply and the oil demand. They are, you know, we are seeing Saudi Aramco rolling out multiple programs in terms of bringing capital projects up on the table. And we being one of the LTA holders, will be a significant beneficiary as and when the pipeline orders will get finalized. We are likely to see a lot of traction happening towards Q2 and Q3 from Saudi Aramco. On the water side of it, their demand for, you know, the movement of desalination water to their inhabitants in the cities continues to be strong. There are a couple of projects in which we have participated at this point in time. These projects got slightly delayed because of a very high steel price and the Ministry of Finance making adjustments in terms of project cost. I think so in the second quarter, all these adjustments would probably be done, and all the projects which were being put on hold because of this high price, steel price, will come back on track. So we stay extremely optimistic with respect to our Saudi business, both on the oil and gas as well as on the waterfront. Lastly, as I informed earlier, we have already started the process for an IPO. The process is on track. The regulatory approvals which have been sought are likely to come sometimes in Q2. And then we will decide the timing in terms of when to hit the market for this successful IPO. We are aiming to complete this during the financial year 22 itself. I would also like to bring some business updates. As you recollect, in the last call, we have talked about a proposed acquisition of steel business of WOSL by WCL through a scheme of arrangement. We have already filed for all the necessary approvals at this point in time. We are expecting comments to come back from SEBI. And the process seems to be completely on track at this point in time. On the DI project, as we announced in October 2020, we are going full ahead with our DI project, and the greenfield facility at Anjar and we are absolutely optimistic that it will be commissioned on or before March 22. So this project is absolutely on track, and it, you know, we should be seeing production coming out in March 22. As you are aware, that the divestment for the plate and coil mill is now completed. You know, we have received the final consideration, and no dues are now payable to us from the JSW, who is the acquirer for this particular asset. So with this, the entire the entire cost has been completely reimbursed and received. Lastly, I also want to touch on the key initiatives, ESG initiatives, which the company has been focusing on. We are very, very committed and focused on a couple of things on the ESG front. Number one is the greenhouse gas inventory. Number two, strengthening our supply chain, sustainable supply chain framework. Number three, strengthening our governance structure. And number four, we are also working, you know, in terms of upskilling and, you know, bringing better board effectiveness. These are the three or four buckets under which in EGA we are working at this point in time. And, you know, and you will see a significant actions coming up around in subsequent quarters to come. With this, I would like to conclude my opening remarks. I would happy to take any questions that you may have, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. And congrats on concluding or closing the deal to sell the PCMB asset. Sir, I have a few questions. Firstly, from the last quarter's interaction, I mean, we are seeing that the bid book has increased from 1.23 million tons to 1.77. Now, what are the key segments and regions that have added to this bid book? You mentioned that you have, from the India plant, the potential has come from the slurry pipelines. But if you can just elaborate region-wise and what are the key segments which has led to this increase in bid book? Thanks.
So there are two regions which have significantly contributed, where the visibility is looking better and things are moving in a very favorable direction. That happens to be Latin America and the Australasian region.
Okay.
From an export perspective.
Okay, and the segment is, the incremental has come from which segment?
The increment has come from our oil and gas segment, and the product would be the longitudinal pipes.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned that your India, when you were mentioning on the India operation, commenting on the outlook, you mentioned that the gas and slurry pipelines across the world from these countries. So is the value addition or the margins very similar to what we get in the oil and gas segment for slurry pipelines, or there's a difference?
They're pretty much the same.
Got it. So second question is on the USA operations. I mean, if you can just share for this financial year, what will be the annual fixed costs over there for the USA operations?
You know, the largest cost component there is the manpower component, right? And, you know, till now we have been running full blast till the end of July, let's say till the end of this month. We had some orders in hand, and so we were running, you know, full steam, and an appropriate level of manpower was maintained. Now, as we are seeing for the next, you know, as we are seeing a limited visibility of the business in subsequent quarters, not that, you know, we are not in discussion with some other key players or key midstream companies to secure new business, but by the time they will materialize and by the time they will come for execution, there could be a little bit of a pause. So we are taking all the measures in terms of optimizing the cost, including the manpower cost, and we are absolutely working very diligently on that particular front at this point in time. Now, the moment we will crystallize that, I think so by the end of this week or early next week, we should be in a better position to crystallize that. And if you allow us to get back to you by that time, I will appreciate that.
Perfect. And just related question to the USA operations is, in the last call you mentioned that the order book is visibility still July. So whatever orders we had in hand over there, I mean, can we expect them to complete the pending order book to be executed in this quarter itself?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. The production is over. The entire execution would be over in the within the next quarter itself.
Got it. And just the last question is, sir, what's the strategy with respect to Welspun Specialty Steel? I mean, will we need to infuse more money over there? And what is the strategy over the next 3 years? Broad strategy, if you can just share on that. That is the last question. Thank you, sir.
As you know, Welspun Specialty Steel is a boutique company, right? And we have seen the peers in that business. You know, what the amount of, you know, recognition and the amount of growth they have recorded. I think so. We are even much better prepared than them. At this point of time, we have some big plans around that particular company. But, you know, I think so we are taking fairly calibrated steps at this point of time, because as we have filed for the scheme of merger, we want the first step is that, you know, that should get through. And once that happens, and it is through the WCL acquisition, WSL acquisition, it comes under our fold, that is the time we would like to invest. It will require some marginal investment in terms of ramping up the operations. But we are very, very buoyant and very, very sarcastic about the growth of that particular company. And I don't have to elaborate that. You are seeing the, you know, the performance of the peers in that particular segment. So we should not be left behind in the whole process.
Okay. Great, sir. Great. Thanks a lot, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavesh Khandelwal from RII. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just have one question on the steel business. So if you can just share about the EBITDA, what we have done from last year, or maybe the EBITDA ratio for the business.
Bhavesh, sorry, we could not get the question clearly. Can you repeat it, please?
Yeah, I'm saying that the steel business, so can you share the EBITDA ratio for the steel company, which we are going to get?
EBITDA.
For the steel company?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically the valuation for Welspun Steel and for Welspun Specialty Solutions was conducted by, of course, two independent valuers. And if I'm not mistaken, the amount comes to close to about 360 to 365 crores for both these put together. WSSL, as you know, is a listed company, and the market cap is available in the public domain as well. And WSL, the numbers were that top line was close to 650 crores and the EBITDA was close to 39 crores for the year March 21. So I think that might help you based on the consideration and the numbers as to what the valuation norms would be.
Sure. That's all from us. Thank you for the message.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Vikas.
Yeah. Sir, just wanted to understand your views on the long-term planning on oil and gas pipelines, because now there's a lot of talks about the carbon neutrality and people are moving to solar and wind power. Since the pipeline planning are of 25-30 years, so how do you see any feedback from the customer side in terms of anything there? Some people are reluctant to put now pipeline because obviously the oil and gas consumption in next 20-30 years might not increase in the same proportion as previously thought.
Because the oil and gas pipelines are going to stay at least in our lifetime. Whatever is happening, you know, it is happening for good, you know, on the renewable side of it. But the demand, you know, by the time that renewables will become completely full blown and could be able to cater the complete requirement, I think so there is a long way to go on that, number one. Number two, but also there is a paradigm shift which is happening in the oil and gas space. You know, we are seeing emergence of, of hydrogen pipelines. We are seeing emergence of carbon capture. So these are all large, you know, it is quite possible that there could be a migration from, you know, from the oil pipelines to hydrogen pipelines to, you know, to carbon capture pipelines. But the intrinsic question is whether the pipelines will be there. The answer is yes. What will flow in those pipelines? There is a shift which is happening. We have to recognize that fact. We are preparing ourselves for that. And as you know, I can assure you that Welspun would again one of the pioneers in this country in terms of capturing those opportunities.
Understood, sir. So my second question in terms of tax implication of the great news still. So if you could just give us a little bit of more insight into the same.
Okay. So as you know, the PCMD division was sold for 848.5 crore rupees. And after the tax WDV was reduced from that, we had a capital gains of almost about 590-600 crore rupees, on which the capital gains tax is about 23%. So it involves about 130 crores odd is the capital gains tax. However, we did not have the cash outflow towards this because we had certain long-term capital losses also on our bonds historically, which we had. And also we had MAT credits, accumulated MAT credits. So at the end of the day, we didn't have any cash outflow towards the tax on PCMD. But if you look at the P&L expense, then you can say it's about 130 crore rupees is the long-term capital gains tax on the PCMD sale.
Okay, sir. And sir, in terms of our net cash balance currently, so is it after paying that 350, 360 crores for the new acquisition, or it is prior to that and post the payment our net cash would be lower?
It is prior to that. It is prior to that. And as you know, that right now we have only filed for the merger scheme to be approved. Once the merger scheme get approved, and if you see the contours of that scheme, in any case, we are not going to pay, you know, it is not to be paid on day one. It has to be paid over a period of 18 months from the approval of the scheme. So it's a, you know, there is no immediate cash outflow which is going to happen of this 350 crore rupees on account of this merger.
Understood, sir. And sir, just one last question, if I may ask. How much we have spent on the overall DI capex so far and the next 9 months spending, if you could give us that number?
See, as you know, we are looking at a total capex of close to 1550 crore rupees plus the soft cost at this point in time. I think so. We are well within our budgets and also well within our time. We should be able to conclude, you know, this project well within that, please.
I think he's asking about the cost incurred.
So far as we speak, we have already invested about 400 crores. So all that has gone into land, buildings, capital advances, plant and machinery. So about 400 has been done.
Yeah, but I think important thing is to note is we have not yet drawn any debt on this. So all of this has been from the internal accrual. So this is a part of our equity contribution. If your question is how much further equity contribution is to be done, it's around 200 crore further. Rest all funding will be done through the debt, which is already tied up. So we would be shortly starting the debt draw in August, and all further capex will be funded by that.
Understood, sir. Sir, thank you for taking my question. Just one request from you. So basically, your press release is quite comprehensive and pretty good. But just one request that any which way we usually take on the con call, the geography-wise, the volume execution. So if you could give the India and US volumes also in the press release, that would have been wonderful for us.
I think so. We have... It is there, no? It is there in the press release.
No, so not separately. So you give Saudi plus India plus US volume combined. So India, US and Saudi, if you could give us on the press release itself, it would be wonderful. And maybe say because you disclosed that number on the con call, so I thought probably it is possible in the press release. So otherwise, your press release is quite comprehensive.
Fair point, because we'll take care of that. Valid point, we'll take care of
that. Thank you, sir. And all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ayush Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Ayush.
Hello. Yeah, very good morning, Rice Pankov team. I have two questions. So as per the investor presentation, we have a net debt, net cash position of 1700 crore, gross debt of 800 crore. Don't we intend to pay off the complete debt and become a debt-free company?
So, Ayush, the gross debt that you see, about 816 crores, out of that, roughly 190 to 200 crores is sitting in the US, and that loan is maturing in end of August. So, as of now, our intention is to pay it off. So, you will see a reduction in 816 by at least 190 to 200 crores. That's in the gross debt number. The remaining debt is sitting in India, and in India we are actually raising new NCDs, non-convertible debentures. So as we speak today, we have already raised 440 crores worth of new NCDs. Our plan is to go up to around 500 crores. So we could be raising another 60 crores of NCDs in the next 1 or 2 months. By and large, the reason for raising these NCDs, the long-term funds, is to make sure that plans in the longer run, like what the MD just now referred to, our investments into the new projects, DI projects as well. So we are financing all those things through this long-term debt.
But is it that are we making more than on our cash than we would be paying on the borrowings?
Yeah, I think, we have to be mindful having that we are investing for growth.
Okay. I think the cost of these NCDs had been kept quite under check. So the 3-year paper that we raised is around 6.5%. The 5-year paper is around 7.25%. And you are right, on the cash basis also we try and earn almost around the same number. So there is no negative carry. But as Percy was saying, it is the financing has been done to keep in mind the DI pipe funding requirement of the equity. Other than that, there is no requirement.
Okay. But how come we are making almost 6 to 7% on the cash in hand?
They are being invested as per the board guidelines, the board driven policies, which is usually in the AAA PSU bonds. We are not doing anything on the private sector while we talk. So they are all AAA bonds and other things. So prudent policies are in place by the board, sectoral limits and the company limits and everything has been put into place, and we are adhering to that.
So the plan is not to become debt free, have some cash in hand, and then borrow from the market, CDs or commercial papers.
CDs and CPs are just to be in the market rather than any funding need. They're just to be active in the market. The CP NCD program is what Percy mentioned, going up to 500 crore as a total, out of which we have already done 440, which is in the June books. Another 25 is in the pipeline. So by the end of second quarter, we would be done with the 500 NCD total.
Okay. So the second question is, for that amalgamation scheme, the total consideration is about 320 crores. So why are we issuing preference shares to pay for that? Why can't we pay from the cash in hand instead of issuing fresh preference shares capital and then redeeming it after 18 months, which we have interest bearing? Why don't we plan to use the cash in hand in balance sheet and just pay it off and get rid of the interest?
See, it is good for Welspun Corp that there is no immediate cash outflow. So these redeemable preference shares are basically after 18 months. Okay. So.
Hello.
And the interest rate on these also is very nominal. So it's as per the market rates. So it's actually beneficial for Welspun Corp that the cash outflow will be after 18 months. And by that time, it gives us an opportunity for these businesses also to ramp up and start generating free cash. So I think it's in our interest.
Okay. So the last question is, so all of us are talking about the cyclical theme, the steel that, for the next 2-3 years, the steel prices will be on the higher side. So don't we think by the time we will be able to commission that new project, we will be done with the cyclical period, or we will still have some, time to make up for that?
No, I think, we are talking of two entities here, a entity called WSL, which is fully operational at this point in time. We are talking of another entity, WSSL, which is also a producing and fully functional entity. All what we are adding up is a new entity called a TMT into the WSL entity. And that should take around 10 to 12 months time from today to be up and running. So either way, we are not going to miss the steel cycle because both the entities are currently operating. And even the TMT opportunity, which is likely to be commissioned in 10 to 12 months time, it will still have quite a bit of a headroom in terms of capitalizing the growth which is happening in the steel sector.
Okay. And the effective date is 1st April 2021. That will be from the back date. Is it?
That's correct. Appointed date is 1st April 2021.
Okay. You have been doing a great job, all of you. Thank you very much, sir. Cheers to us.
Thanks for your compliments. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oza from Robo Capital. Please go ahead. Rishikesh, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your questions.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible now.
Okay. Hi, sir. So my first question is, so by when can Saudi contribute numbers similar to, you know, Q2 and Q3 of last year? Can we say by next quarter itself?
Rishikesh, again, Saudi is, so the entire business spectrum of Saudi is about project business, right? At this point of time, we have bidded in couple of projects. We are favorably placed in couple of projects. The awards have to happen around that, and once those happen, then you will see the benefits started coming up. If you recollect, you know, a year and a half, you know, for the, you know, for 3 quarters before, we had almost close to 1 million ton of an order book, which got executed over 6 quarters, or 6 to 8 quarters time. Right now, that is the type of goals we have set for ourselves, for our Saudi business. We are working in that particular direction. But it is not going to happen in 1 quarter time. You have to understand, friend, that it is a project-based business. You have to bid, you have to get an approval, then the execution period starts. So I think it will take a few quarters before we would have. All our aim at this point of time is to build up a significant order book in our Saudi business as well as in India, both.
Okay. And so my last question is, if you can give an order book bifurcation between Saudi, India and US.
So, as we said, that we have close to 487,000, roughly 500,000 tons of order book. Out of which 300,000 tons is in India, and almost Little Rock, as I said, is America is low. It is around 30,000 tons, and Saudi is something like 170,000 tons. So all these put together is close to 500,000 tons.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Agarwal from Arisen Power Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yes,
hello.
You are, Manish. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So my first question is, sir, we are increasing our capacity for DI pipes. So are we looking for a great opportunity in Nansajal scheme that the government is planning to implement sooner?
Yes, we are seeing a tremendous amount of opportunity which is going to come up, and the way things are moving under Jal Jeevan Mission, Nal Se Jal scheme is very, very encouraging. If you would have noticed that the government also introduced a scheme called Amrut, which was creating a sewage network, so that also will require DI pipes. Third scheme what they have also have implemented is about tap water in every urban side of it as well. So today, the water connectivity in villages, the sewage and the water connectivity at every house in urban network, these three schemes put together is giving us a very encouraging, great encouragement in terms of this particular business.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. And my second question is, sir, government is planning to implement gas projects in most of the industrial segment, supplementing with the crude oil. So do we see the same kind of opportunity in gas segment as well? Because the more the gas pipelines will be required, I think it will increase your order book as well.
Absolutely. If you, the government is already on records, and if you see the PNGRB estimate, they are likely to put almost 37,000-38,000 kilometers of gas pipeline network in the country. Right? And we have started some 3 or 4 years back. I think so this upside of gas infrastructure would take another 5 to 7 years before the whole network will get created. So I think so for the next 5 to 7 years time, there appears to be a great potential in terms of developing of a domestic gas grid, and in which the pipelines will be used, and we, you know, and every pipe manufacturer, including us, we being the leading one, will get benefited out of that.
Thank you so much, sir. My last question. Sir, OPEC has decided to increase the production of crude oil. So how do you see this move for the benefit of the company and the orders coming in future?
If you see OPEC and OPEC Plus have actually calibrated their output. They have not decided to increase. They have calibrated their output. I think so, you know, when they are, the whole purpose behind this calibration seems to be that they want to keep the price of the crude beyond a particular point. And if you see today, as we speak today, it is almost close to $75 a barrel. If you see the last 8 weeks, it has been in more than almost $60 to $65 a barrel. So I think so by OPEC is working in a very, very calibrated environment, and they want to keep the oil prices high, and which is good for, you know, for, good for the infrastructure developments to happen.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram Damani from Damani Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm sorry if I'm repeating something that was mentioned earlier because I joined a little late. I just wanted some clarity on why our revenue was lower year on year, Q1 to Q1, as well as the pipe sales volume. If you could just throw some light on that, please. Thank you.
It's a combination of the order book which was to be executed in the quarter. You know, Mr. Damani, that it's a project business. It is all about what projects and, you know, what which have to be got executed in every quarter, right? So in this particular quarter, in comparison to the last year quarter, I think so what was to be executed was on the lower side, and that is why the revenues are less. But as we move forward into the subsequent quarter, I think so you will see a significant uptick which seems to be happening.
Oh, okay, got it. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Hemisha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Shah.
So I would like to know more about this DI pipe business, because, you know, you are adding a significant, you know, amount of capacity. When I look at the capacity of other players, so would it not impact the margin of all the players from next year?
I don't know whether it will impact their margins or not. We are very buoyant about it. We see a tremendous.
What are the margins that you are forecasting for that business then?
See, it's a factor of multiple things. You know, it's basically a steel product. What is going to be the iron ore price? What is going to be your coal price and all that? So I think there are various factors. It will be slightly premature for me to discuss about that. As we reach there, I'm sure we will be able to tell you in much more clarity. But right now, I think so we are completely obsessed with two things. Number one, that A, the project should get executed well in time and within the cost. And B, the demand. Is there demand going to be buoyant or not? I think so. We are convinced on both the fronts, and that is what we are currently focusing on. As regards the pricing and the costing, as we reach to that milestone, I think so that will be a more appropriate time for us to discuss that.
Okay, and I'm assuming it will take around, you know, around a year for you to operate at, you know, optimum capacity. And if you can, you know, just share, you know, the approx range of the revenue it can generate when it operates at around 100% capacity.
You're right. It will, you know, I mean, it's a new business. A new business will need some incubation time. But looking at the demand, looking at the growth.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management line reconnected. Amish, you may want to repeat your question.
Yes, so I was asking about, you know, the revenue forecast when it operates at 100% capacity.
I don't know where did I lose you, but as I was saying that, you know, it is a new business. It will take some time. Any new business will need some time for incubation. But looking at the growth and looking at the demand which is emerging in this particular segment, we are very, very optimistic that, you know, we will reach to our peak demand much earlier than, you know, in a normal course of situation would be. You know, and also the top line would be completely dependent upon as to, you know, of the prevalent pricing at that point of time. But just to give you a rough flavor that what could be a potential steady state top line could be, it could be anything between 1500 to 1800 crore rupees on, you know, when we are fully in an optimum utilization of our capacity. Having said that, but if it is a good today's market situation, when the steel is on fire, it can be in excess of 2000 crore rupees as well.
Okay, and I want to know, you know, what are the CapEx plans for Welspun Steel? Because, you know, we are paying a good amount for an entity that is only, you know, I mean, you said that it only generated EBITDA of 39 crores in FY21?
Yeah. So Welspun Steel's existing business, of course, has been about top line of 650 crores and an EBITDA of 39-40 crores. Nevertheless, they are also getting into TMT business. And they have investment plans also, which I think we have disclosed in our really press release documents as well. So we see a lot of potential over here, and the valuation that we are paying is nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please remain connected. The management line just got disconnected.
Okay, we have the management reconnected. So you may please proceed.
Sorry, we don't know where we lost you in terms of while we were answering. Can you help us? Where did we lose you?
About the TMT business that Welspun Steel is
carrying. Right. So, you know, if you look, it is a producing asset. You know, it is producing top-notch billets at this point of time. It has a top line of almost 650 crore rupees. It is contributing, almost 40-45 crore rupees of EBITDA. Looking at the steel cycle which we are currently into, and I think so, it is going to be, it is going to behave this way or even better. And on top of it, as you know, we are now investing into a TMT plant, which is a further value-added product downstream side of it. So the incremental earnings of this is only going to go up from here, and that is why a very calculative decision was taken in terms of acquiring this asset.
If I may add,
so was the rationale to acquire this to, to use, I mean, because Welspun Corp is a stronger entity, so I mean, it will be better to, to scale up that business? Because, I mean, as of now, it's only generating EBITDA margins of 6%, around 6%.
See, it is not that Welspun being a strong entity and it wants to play a big brother role. I think the business rationale, it was purely based on a very sound business rationale. Welspun Corp wants to consolidate his operation. We want to bring profitability and enhance earning in our, in our balance sheet. And we see that this is a natural fit. Today, adjacent to it, we are setting up a DI plant. We are making steel in any case, right? Why it makes a perfect sense for us to integrate this operation along with the Welspun DI business and bring it under one fold so that we can leverage the capabilities which are going to be synergetic between the two entities. So it's a very well thought of decision rather than a big brother attitude being played here.
Yeah.
It's purely based on commercial parameters.
I think in addition to the EBITDA being generated by WSL, which is Welspun Steel, you must also keep it in mind that we are also getting a more than 50% stake in WSSL through this. If I go by the market cap concept today, the market cap of the company is almost 1200 crores. And with that, the equity value that we are getting through this merger is nearly around 600 crores. So one, there is a consolidation of the business, the steel businesses, all of them coming together in the adjacencies, plus the EBITDA numbers and the WSSL business folding into Welspun Corp portfolio. It all makes huge sense to merge all of them together.
Okay, and one last question is on the dividend or the payout policy that you have. So my broad question is, after the major capex is over, let's say for the DI5 business and for the new TMT plant that Welspun Steel is also coming up with, what will be the pay? If you can, come out with a proper dividend or proper payout guidance, because I mean it's been very erratic, the kind of dividend payouts.
Not really. I think so. We have been consistent. We have been very consistent in terms of making our dividend payouts for the dividends, right? Wherever we had enough. If you see the last 2 or 3 years, we have been consistently paying that, and depending on what earnings we have been doing. So I think so. We have a very, our intent is very clear that while on one side we will have to chart out our growth plans, but on the other hand, we also would like to take care of our minority shareholders. And we have been regularly doing that, so I think our track record speaks on that.
I'm just asking for a rough figure of the payout ratio that will be after next year, like after 22, when your capex is over in the DI5 business.
So we will have to see that what type of earnings we are making, and I think that then we will appropriately discuss at the board level, and whatever the guidance will come, we will address that. But the one thing which I want to only assure you is that, the interest of our minority stakeholders is always in forefront of us. We always are very, very completely mindful. The board is completely mindful of that particular fact. They work with that purpose and intent.
And I think you should also count the buyback that we did in the past, which was in lieu of dividend. So buyback and dividend put together, I think what Vibhul is saying makes sense, that this has been a consistent policy, and of course it has been well defined at the board level. So going forward also, we'll try and maintain that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Congrats on the management on consummating the plate deal and again increasing the overall cash level.
Thanks, Bhavin.
For the company. Just a few questions on first, if you can, I just missed out on that. If you can break up the order book into ELSO, its Spiral and ERW.
No, what we gave, what I told earlier, Bhavin, was about the order book for the region. That was the question to me. As I said, that we have a approximately order book of 500,000, 287 to be precise. Besides, let's say 500,000 tons. Out of which 300,000 tons is in India. In Little Rock, we have 30,000 tons. And in Saudi, we have close to 170,000 tons. So 170,000 tons of Saudi is all Spiral. 30,000 tons of Little Rock is all Spiral. The 300,000 tons of India is a split between longitudinal, Spiral and ERW. Out of which 150,000 tons, half of it is longitudinal, and the balance is ERW and Spiral.
ERW and Spiral. So this 150 of ELSO again would be largely exports?
156 would largely be export, yes.
Yeah.
It has a small domestic component, which was for one of the PSU, but largely it is an export order, yes.
Right. So regarding this low India order book, I understand obviously this looks to be the sharp steel price rally, looks to be some postponement of orders, and because India order book looks very low and hardly, it's less than the quarterly run rate of what India can do and all that. So any discussion with government and oil PSUs, which largely give this order, and EPC companies, because it doesn't look like steel or metal prices correcting in a near term soon. So how are they positioning on the upcoming capex? What they have been planning on this one?
So on the PSU side, especially on the oil and gas side of things, I think so this fact has sinked in and the market has calibrated itself. So we are seeing a continuous progression happening on the PSU side of the business. You know, we are not seeing any slowdown happening on the PSU business in terms of their inquiries and the tenders which are coming out. So they are completely on track. They have completely understood this, this change in the fundamental shift in the steel industry, and they are calibrating accordingly to that. The challenge is coming up more on the water side of it, where, on one side of it, because of the steel prices have gone up, the EPCs have taken a back foot because they have booked their businesses at a much lower cost a year and a half back, number one. Number two, the payments from the government is also getting delayed because the entire machinery and the fund has been diverted in terms of handling this pandemic. As things are settling down, we are seeing that the government is gradually increasing the spending and the allocation of the funds for the water sector has started coming in. On one side of it, the funds have started coming in. On the other side of it, there is also a little bit of a moderation which is also happened on the steel price. And third, the government is also considering to give a price rise to the EPC guys. So, they are trying to bring both these points together, and I am sure that it is a matter of time. In this quarter, I think so there should be a convergence, and we should see the water business bouncing back to full steam. That is what we are hoping at this point of time. And once that happens, Bhavin, then I think so it will give a quantum leap in our order book.
So my second question was, I think again, there remains a concern of the long-term energy needs and oil prices and demand and all that. But my view is that obviously a lot of your pipeline goes into gas pipeline and the demand for gas is increasing. And obviously the usage of also gas will increase in future. So though the gas prices are higher, are you not seeing some uptick in demand from either US, Canada, Australia, and how are the inquiries, bid books, because a lot of pipeline may be needed for export of gas also. So how is the situation there?
So if you look at the North American market, we just concluded a large project which was a gas pipeline. That was the highest operating pipeline, gas pipeline, which will ever be get commissioned. So we just concluded that. So right now there seems to be a little bit of a slowdown in the North American market. But the Australasian market, the Southeast Asian market has become very, very buoyant at this point in time. We are seeing a lot of inquiry, a lot of businesses emerging from Australia. You see, in last year also we executed one project. The second project which got cancelled, now it got reinstated. We have already announced that. We are also pursuing one or two or three more large projects in the Australasia market. So, you know, there is a demand which is emerging in that particular market. Having said that, in my earlier conversation, in an earlier question, I was saying that we are also seeing a lot of, developments happening at Saudi Aramco level, right? Saudi Aramco is also coming up with large projects. You know, they have put two or three projects on the back burner, especially the Marzans and the Zulus. Now, we are hearing that all those projects stand sanctioned, and they should also be coming up in the later part of this year, early next year, with their buying stream for those particular projects as well. So gas, in any case, Bhavin, is getting a lot of traction at this point in time, and it will continue to get in times to come as well. Both domestic as well as for exports.
Sure. And how much time it would take for you to consolidate your steel entity and speciality steel? Approval process would take how much time?
I think that it's a process of anything between 4 to 6 months, 7 months. It is a regulatory approval process. You don't have too much of a control. But historically, in the indication side, it takes anything 6 to 8 months time.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may please press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Once again, thank you very much, all of you, for joining us on this particular call today for our Q1 results. I hope we have tried our best in terms of answering all your questions. But still, if you have any doubts, any queries whatsoever, you can reach back to me directly or to Mr. Percy or Akhila or to our investor relation guy, and we will be more than happy to answer any queries what you would have. Having said that, I once again want to thank you for taking time out, and stay safe and stay blessed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.